Blog Talk Radio.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see? Twilight, let's gleam.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and say, till I did heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let us be, let our rejoices rise high. Loud as the orgia.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen, or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Release Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors program. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Bruh. A little something for the people. Bruh. Think y'all should listen.
And talk about the victim last night that got popped. And who the best on the block with the crack rock? Play a lot of pop and bang it to the track stop. It's in our nature to run into this jackpot. Hoping not the strength to flow for that rah-rah. But you envision that trip that's living my ties. The anticipation turns to aggravation. So when words of wisdom spoke, you hear blah blah. Cause if that wise guy turns to a wise guy, I pray to God that that guy ain't on a high rise. And if he is, I hope the earth he got nine lives. See, this is the type of life I seen with my eyes. Go boys, whipping in the ghost fire. On the 9 to 5, but no bow ties. Cause when Jay's on the street, you're solo, no lie. All black attire, shooting with a bow tie.
The time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war.
And
watch a nigga kill another nigga. So one dead, one in jail, so soon there'll be no niggas. They scamming for the dough, nigga. I can't trust them, I don't know them. Them yo niggas, I need the source, they either leave or buy. Cause these niggas don't care if I breathe or die. So put your pride aside and let your wings fly. Don't be a middleman, be the man who supplies. The definition of a boss, let it multiply. And if they oppose that, they all can die. Cause if they move fast, that's when them cautions fly. So I'd rather be alive than a homicide. Feel my spirit, see my girl and my mama cry. And all my niggas pouring liquor for the honor. I vow to be the realest without ever saying it. So serious, I ain't kidding, nigga, who you playing with?
Where are ranked on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
By any means necessary.
Fucking the same chick your man had last week. Now he's emotional, so now you got beef. Instead of him checking out who the hoe be, next thing you know, he let go free. To the chest. Now we gotta lay another brother down to rest. That wall getting full, cause y'all full of the bull. No more love or lust, cause all they do now is cool. 15 years old, not even in school. But he know mathematics better than you. A community that knows everything about you. But when it goes down, they don't know what to do. What type of sense is that? No clue. So instead of waiting for them, you make the first move. Instead of talking about the victim last night that got popped, or who the best on the block with the trap box.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, still question the power of our democracy. Tonight is your answer.
What's going on, everybody? It's Talk to Me Tuesday. 12/4/2012, and we're going to discuss the anniversary of the assassination of Fred Hampton on this day. Now, it was brought to me by my producers that this is a monumental occasion that should be shared with our audience, and she felt that y'all would enjoy this segment. We're about to dip into a little quick documentary of Fred Hampton, then we're going to dove in it, and probably give my little perspective. And it's interesting that we're dealing with Fred Hampton's death coming out this little. And I told my mom I ain't gonna talk about JJJ snitching campaign, but I'll tell you what I mean. 347-838-9825. You can join us in the chat room. You want to chat in? Let me go ahead and hit. That's track 5, Ebony.
You are the ones who are going to decide for yourselves what happened in that apartment on the morning of December 4th. You are going to decide whether or not Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were the victims of premeditated murder.
This is December 4th, 1969 at 10:54 a.m. My name is Skip Andrew. I'm at 2337 West Monroe Street, Chicago, Illinois. This door, which is the door entering into the living room, has two holes in it. This one I'm pointing to right here, 10 inches from the edge, and this one down here, 12 inches. The first one I referred to being 25 from the top, and the second one 36 from the top. Now, as you open this, there's also, of course, a knob door in this one. As you open this door, there's blood behind the door. The top hole shows that the bullet was incoming.
They fired through the door and hit the brother through the door. The brother fell here. Most of the blood is dried up, but you can see a little bit of it there and a little bit of it on the floor. The brother was shot 4 or 5 times, so after they came through the door, they shot him again to make sure he was dead.
Mr. Montgomery, Dr. Constantino testified today that Mark Clark could not have struggled after receiving that shot through the heart. Now, in your mind, does this contradict the testimony of Officer Davis, who described a struggle?
Yes. It seems to me that that was a very startling thing. We also learned that the bullet, which was in fact recovered from Mr. Hampton's body, was a bullet fired out of a carbine by Officer Davis. So that indicates also that Officer Davis may well have walked into that back bedroom, contrary to his testimony, and fired a shot into the body of Fred Hampton at one point in time or other.
Mr. Hanrahan, can you tell me why your officers did not try to use tear gas? Isn't this the usual procedure to flush someone out of a building?
Our officers used the means necessary to effect the search and to prevent themselves from being killed upon after they were killed, after they were fired upon.
Isn't it true that your men usually use tear gas in situations such as this, and why didn't they use it this time?
No, that is not true.
It is not true?
They came with a murder on their mind, you see. Yes. Even if they wanted to take somebody to jail, it would be a simple matter of just shooting some tear gas and just blow everybody out. Right on.
This is where our chairman had his brain blown out, and he lay in his bed, sleeping at 4:30 in the morning.
Someone came into the room, started shaking the chairman. Said, Chairman, wake up. The pigs were laughing. Still half asleep, I looked up, and I saw bullets coming from, it looked like, the front of the apartment, from the kitchen area. And they were, pigs were just shooting. And about this time, I jumped on top of the chairman. He looked up. Looked like all the pigs burst at the entranceway to the bedroom area, back bedroom area. The mattress was just going, you could feel the bullets going into it. I just knew they had everybody in there. When he looked up, he didn't say a word, and he didn't move, except for moving his head up. He laid his head back down to the side like that. He never said a word, he never got up out of bed. The person who was in the room, they kept hollering out, stop shooting, stop shooting. We have a pregnant woman or a pregnant sister in here. At the time, I was 8.5 to 9 months pregnant. My baby was to be delivered in 2 weeks. Pigs kept on shooting. So I kept on hollering out. Finally, they stopped. They pushed me and the other brother by the kitchen door and told us to face the wall. Heard a pig say, he's barely alive, he'll barely make it. I assume they were talking about Chairman Fred. Then they started shooting the pig. They started shooting again. I heard a sister scream. They stopped shooting. Pig said, he's good and dead now. The pigs were running around and laughing, and they were really happy, you know, talking about Chairman Fred is dead. I never saw Chairman Fred again.
Inflammatory statements and false charges against our office have been made by spokesmen for the Black Panther Party and others, despite the fact that the speakers had no reliable knowledge about the occurrence.
So the best account that I can give is the room that I was in and the actions of things surrounding me personally, you know. First thing I remember when I woke up was a knock on the door, and it was only a matter of seconds. In fact, I'd say it was less than 5 seconds that I heard, you know, shots. Now, the thing that struck me was that I not only heard shots, I can see plaster coming out of the walls in my room, so I knew the bullets were coming through the room that I was in.
The great variance between the physical evidence and the testimony of the officers raises the question as to whether the officers are falsifying their accounts. those officers fired 99 shots through the walls of an apartment where they knew people were sleeping. Murdered is defined in Illinois as follows. A person who kills an individual without lawful justification commits murder if, in performing the acts which caused the death, he knows that such acts create a strong probability of death or great bodily harm to that individual or another. Federal grand jury comes to its conclusions. Unquestionably, the raid was not professionally planned or properly executed, and the result of the raid was 2 deaths, 4 injuries, and 7 improper criminal charges. In spite of those conclusions, the report then goes on to say, the physical evidence and the discrepancies in the officers' accounts are insufficient to establish probable cause to charge the officers with a willful violation of the occupant's civil rights.
Now, it's funny that we're sitting here going over the anniversary of Fred Hampton's assassination here on the west side here in Chicago back in 69, December 4th. Because right now we got the mayor, Rahm, here trying to get stricken from the record the code of silence that the police department have here in Chicago when they was covering up the case of the bar attended. We have John Burge right now. I'm giving testimony. Was scheduled to give testimony on his case in torture and wrongful making citizens make wrongful admissions to guilt. And then you got the Veneco case here, where son of a mayor. Literally gets away with murder. We won't say aggravated murder or involuntary manslaughter. A punch was thrown and the individual died. But now on the anniversary, we still see that there are cover-ups that goes on in the police department. You see, what the video, what the little excerpt my producer didn't cut out was tell you how that they did, how were they approaching, why were they fired upon. But before I do that, let me go ahead and give you a little history on who Fred Hampton was, a little backdrop. I should have went into that first while I played the little tape so everyone can know what we're talking about. But let me go ahead and give it to my super producer, Ebby 5.
Fred Hampton was born in Chicago on August 3rd of 1948 and grew up in Maywood, a suburb in the city. A bright student, Hampton graduated from Proviso East High School in 1966 before enrolling at Triton Junior College, where he studied law. While a student, Hampton became active in the civil rights movement. He joined the NAACP and was appointed leader of the Youth Council of the organization West Suburban Branch. In October 1966, Bobby Seale and Huey Newton formed the Black Panther Party in Oakland, California. Initially formed to protect local communities from police brutality and racism, the Black Panthers eventually developed into a Marxist revolutionary group, so they are written about, some say. The group also ran medical clinics and provided free food to school children. And important members included Stokely Carmichael, H-Rack Brown, Bobby Hutton, and Eldridge Cleaver. Hampton founded the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party in November 1968. He immediately established a community service program. This included the provision of free breakfast for school children and a medical clinic that did not charge patients for treatment. Hampton also taught political education classes and community control of police projects. One of Hampton's greatest achievements was to persuade Chicago's most powerful street gangs to stop fighting against each other. In May 1969, Hampton held a press conference where he announced a non-aggression pact between gangs and the formation of what he called a Rainbow Coalition. Did you hear that? a multi-racial alliance of black, Puerto Rican, and poor youth. Later that year, Hampton was arrested and charged with stealing $71 worth of sweets, which he then allegedly gave away to the local children. Hampton was initially convicted of the crime, but the decision was eventually overturned. The activities of the Black Panther Party in Chicago came to the attention of J. Edgar Hoover and FBI. Hoover described the Panthers as the greatest threat to internal security of the country and urged the Chicago police to launch an all-out assault on the organization. In 1969, the Panther Party headquarters on the West Monroe Street was raided three times and over 100 members were arrested. In the early hours of December 4, 1969, the Panther headquarters was raided by police for the fourth time. The police later claimed that the Panthers opened fire and a shootout took place. During the next 10 minutes, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were killed. Witnesses claimed that Hampton was wounded in the shoulder and then executed by a shot to the head. The Panthers left alive and included Deborah Johnson, Hampton's girlfriend, who was 8 months pregnant at the time, were arrested and charged with attempting to murder the police. Afterwards, ballistic evidence revealed that only one bullet had been fired by the Panthers, whereas nearly 100 came from police guns. After the resignation of President Richard Nixon, the Senate Intelligence Committee conducted a wide-ranging investigation of America's intelligence services. Frank Church of Idaho, the chairman of the committee, revealed in April 1976 that William O'Neill, Hampton's bodyguard, was an FBI agent provocateur who, days before the raid, had delivered an apartment floor plan to the bureau with an X marking Hampton's bed. Ballistic evidence showed that most bullets during the raids were aimed at Hampton's bedroom. That is.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, it's interesting. It's a very interesting situation since we're dealing with this wearing of a wire, because that is what took down the Panthers and all other organizations back in the day. The fact that people now, especially black folks, are just so quick to have the government all in their mix, forget about times when the government was out to assassinate leaders like Fred Hampton, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Mark Clark, Medgar Evers. Let's take a break, everybody.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
I do no harm. I never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life.
I can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. One, two, three, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of bebop. Bop, bop, yeah, bass man. Come on up. One, two, three, hit me. Sound good. Yeah. Saxophone on the floor. One, two, three. Come on! Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul. Jimmy got soul. Fraud niggas, y'all niggas, that's that shit I don't like. Yo shit, make believe, rapping about my own life. Woo! That's Rand nigga, woo! Ric Flair nigga, woo! The power's in my hair nigga, woo! I get a piece of chair nigga. Soho, a Tribeca, three hoes, trifecta, dope money, coke money, shoe blow, my watch better, my pen's better, you don't write, trendsetter, you clone like. Pay homage or cage vomit, ungrateful niggas I don't like.
Rah! A fuck nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
A snitch nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
A bitch nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
Sneak nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
The Chicago nigga.
I just cut it off right there. Because a snitch is what did the Black Panthers in. And since we are talking about the dude I'm not about, Trey J, let's deal with William O'Neill. What my producer touched on was that William O'Neill was working with the federal government and provided them with blueprints to their home facilities for the assassination attempt. You see, William O'Neill got arrested on some bogus with traffic charge violation, maybe some dope charge or something. And instead of doing time, they knew he's a Panther, they asked him, well, why? But what the documentary does not say is that they had hot dogs and Kool-Aid. That's his last meal, so they say. But in the Kool-Aid was the Mickey slipped in there to make sure that they were tired and sleepy. Cool-ass William O'Neill was the last one left. He went out the back door, left it open, why, bam. That's the last time he saw Chairman Fred, too. Where I'm going with this, people? You see, when people of close associates or people with high trust values are working for government entities, that's not good. Now, I'm not talking about infiltrating Al-Qaeda or skinheads. I'm just talking about, let's say, National Action Network or Operation Push or Breadbasket. I mean, if you came up in the 70s and the 60s, you knew that you was always infiltrated, but did you always thought it would be so high up that the community is monitored? You see, us GOP, us Republicans, we always say, hey, keep government out your business. You know, when did black folks start loving government? When do we start loving government? Because, now, we're back to the assassination of Chairman Fred, what trusted ally and friend ended up getting him killed. And who knows what the Black Panther Party of Self-Defense would have done at the time. Matter of fact, the guy that I ran against this past election, well, I was trying to run against the general, I didn't get a chance to make it there. It was Bobby Rush. He was a member of the Black Panther Party from Self-Defense. And it's funny. Back then, they was marching, defending the Second Rights, order to bear guns and protect your community. Now they're saying, get your guns out the community. It's funny how times change, people change. But the situation stays the same. Here we got a culture of corruption, code of silence. The judge and jury has already admitted that Chicago has a code of silence. Here we have the mayor trying to get it stricken from the record. So other people won't use the code of silence claim that Chicago police officers got And I just played a little clip back in 69. The Chicago police officers just gunning down Chairman Fred Hampton. 12-4-69. Now, at that time, all the Black Panthers were doing modern trend, police brutality. See, before they have breakfast program at school, that's what the Black Panthers were doing. After school programs, that's what Black Panthers were doing. You see, most of the programs that are in place now were initiated by the Black Panthers. The police, Citizen Police Board, Schooling Board, to what, Obama, to the police activities, Black Panther. See, the community end up in embracing the cause of the Panthers. But it seems like the community also embraced the government that was destroyed the Panthers and all our leaders, King, X. You know. And it's shame on Junior that so much trust is put into you, and this is what you're doing. You're going down the road of William O'Neill. You see, in my mind, William O'Neill is a very, 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 he's like Peter to me. You know, somebody that said they was down with Chairman Fred when he came down. I don't know who Fred is. I don't know that guy. Leave the back door open. I'll put some in that Kool-Aid. You see, that's why I have a problem. Trust factor with people. And even though the game of politics that I'm in is just so, it's there. But you can't really have nobody coming in a circle. Just, you can't even, the garbage shows, you can't even let your testicles hang down and kick it with your boys and talk feces. Or let me get Negroid. You can't let your nooks hang, sit down with your homies and talk shit. You know? And that's why I take this Yessie Jackson Union shit so personal. Now, I may have a problem with his father because, you know, hey, I don't buy that King stuff. I don't believe that suit you had don't have the blood of Martin Luther King in it. Come on, man, let's be real. Hey, everybody knew this informant in King's camp. We all know that. They all admit, read the tapes now. They all admitting that stuff. Let's go on back. King, you know, they came and told his boys, his wife, when we had people in his boys. Bevel should tell us that all the time, Reverend James Bevel. But anyway, I never, you know, I ain't going to say I got any problem with the old man. But to know that his son is doing something that the movement looked down upon, and that is going to the government informing on all activities that the community does. When we feel that we are trying to get over, but we can't get from under, because we got people that's overseeing us like they are the overseers. Here we got a black president, and none of these black people are saying we're broke, unemployed, sick and tired. You got people in Mississippi saying they're ready to be illegal now because illegal can get a whole brand new clean slate. I mean, what's really going on? Only 30 congressmen in down there in D.C., but let somebody run Republican, you throw a white person over them. Here in Chicago, you got Troy Hutchison, Robin Kelly, and Debbie Halverson trying to be congresswomen. And they all came from the same camp. Troy Hutchison took Debbie Halverson's spot when she became congressman. Worked as the chief of staff, and so did Robin Kelly. See, what makes you think of, are they sitting to vote for Debbie Halverson because they all connected in? I mean, what's really going on, man? I mean there's just this. When I was in college, I did a report on this little tragic incident with the Black Panthers. And I remember I was interviewing Bobby Rush. And I was like, man, Bobby, if this hit on the Panthers, where were you at? You know, he was just, he was at some his white friend's house hiding out because he was scared for his life. But he lived. He survived it. Mark Clark survived it. His wife survived it, and Fred Hampton Jr. survived his son. That he survived it. But you know, but that's the price to pay when you decide to turn on your friends. You know. The fact that the gentleman will put something in somebody Kool-Aid of all things. That cool, refreshing drink that all colored people drink in the summertime. Made sure they would sleep. Provide the plans, the floor plans for the house. Set up his bed right here, sleeps right here. Bang, come on the back porch, pop him. You won't ever see it coming. And now what we got to say, I wish Daniel's on the line right now. And now what we got to say to about Jesse now. But is that too extreme, putting those things in the same category? When a while with the government going to organizations and I'm letting those going on. I mean, the organization might not have to assassinate and shoot them, but they could have plans to take them out, destabilize them, and monitor them. Or is it that we like being monitored? What is it? I don't know. I don't know. But that's all I know is that today is the day of assassination of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, and almost the assassination of a pregnant lady with a child. The Spirit of the Most High is with them because that's the only way they survived that onslaught of bullets that's written in their bedroom at 10 o'clock at night. When they could easily use tear gas to smoke them out. Man, that's how things go. It's just that we sit here and try to close us to the blind eye, think things are different and things are the same. Yeah, this is America. You know, yeah, we got gains. You know, we make strides. We got a man, we got a black guy in the White House. I can't say things are all bad. But when trusted leaders that we elected to look out for us, that are the best interest of the black community, decide to wear wise and, well, if you want to fight corruption, I ain't tripping. Fight corruption. Your thing, tear it all down. But there's a price to pay where why I work for the government. You might have one idea of what you're doing, but they might have another alternative motive, man. 347-838-9825, Jimmy's Underground Radio.
Insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cards, business owners' policies, general contractors' liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
Many songs I wrote in the skies for your lows and highs. Open your mind to hear me. I beat cops and obsolete. On every day to the top, you can't stop my heat. I taught Jay and Dre how to rock the beat. On what's going on today, yo, I got to speak. I take the stand, yo, you can feel me, bam. Whether it's Larry Graham or Snifty Dan. Live, I'll be killing it, man. For how long I survive, yo, I'm realer than man. Got a soft side, but I'm still a man. For me, women cry and children dance. I'm trying to eat. I could have got a meal of RAM, but life fly for the fam. Still I stand. I am music.
Jiminy's Underground Radio. We were dealing with the murder of Fred Hampton. I'm going to do a little, play a little bit more of the track I played earlier. So my little rant that I did, if you just caught me a little a minute ago. You'll see why I say that what Jesse did is deplorable by deciding to wear a wire and take people down. Even though some bad people might need to be taken down. But given how children of the movement hear stories about how the government comes in and infiltrates you, and how the death of X King, Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, Mecca Evers, Jimmy Lee Jackson, host of others, man. Play a little bit of this, and I see y'all chatting in there. 347-838-9825. Talk to me Tuesday, Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio.
You are the ones who are going to decide for yourselves what happened in that apartment on the morning of December 4th. You are going to decide whether or not Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were the victims of premeditated murder.
This is December 4th, 1969 at 10:54 a.m. My name is Skip Andrew. I'm at 2337 West Monroe Street, Chicago, Illinois.
This door, which is the door entering into the living room, has two holes in it. This one I'm pointing to right here, 10 inches from the edge, and this one down here, 12 inches. The first one I referred to being 25 from the top, and the second one 36 from the top. Now, as you open this, there's also, of course, a knob door in this one. As you open this door, there's blood behind the door. The top hole shows that the bullet was incoming.
They fired through the door and hit the brother through the door. The brother fell here. Most of the blood is dried up, but you can see a little bit of it there and a little bit of it on the floor. The brother was shot 4 or 5 times, so after they came through the door, they shot him again to make sure he was dead.
Mr. Montgomery, Dr. Constantino testified today that Mark Clark could not have struggled after receiving that shot through the heart. Now, in your mind, does this contradict the testimony of Officer Davis, who described a struggle?
Yes. It seems to me that that was a very startling thing. We also learned that the bullet, which was in fact recovered from Mr. Hampton's body, was a bullet fired out of a carbine by Officer Davis. So that indicates also that Officer Davis may well have walked into that back bedroom, contrary to his testimony, and fired a shot into the body of Fred Hampton at one point in time or other.
Mr. Hanrahan, can you tell me why your officers did not try to use tear gas? Isn't this the usual procedure to flush someone out of a building?
Our officers used the means necessary to effect the search and to prevent themselves from being killed upon after they were killed, after they were fired upon.
Isn't it true that your men usually use tear gas in situations such as this, and why didn't they use it this time?
No, that is not true.
It is not true?
They came with a murder on their mind, you see. Even if they wanted to take somebody to jail, it would be a simple matter of just shooting some tear gas in his blow everybody out.
Right on.
This is where our chairman had his brain blown out. And he lay in his bed, sleeping at 4:30 in the morning.
Someone came into the room, started shaking the chairman. Said, Chairman, wake up, the pigs are rampant. Still half asleep, I looked up, and I saw bullets coming from, it looked like, the front of the apartment, from the kitchen area. And they were, pigs were just shooting. And about this time, jumped on top of the chair. He looked up. Looked like all the pigs burst at the entrance way to the bedroom area, back bedroom area. The mattress was just going. You could feel the bullets going into it. I just dead, everybody in there. When he looked up, he didn't say a word, and he didn't move, except for moving his head up. He laid his head back down to the side like that. He never said a word, he never got up out the bed. A person was in the room, they kept hollering out, stop shooting, stop shooting. We have a pregnant woman or a pregnant sister in here. At that time, I was 8.5 to 9 months pregnant. My baby was to be delivered in 2 weeks. Pigs kept on shooting. So I kept on hollering out. Finally, they stopped. They pushed me and the other brother by the kitchen door and told us to face the wall. Heard a pig say, he's barely alive, he'll barely make it. I assumed they were talking about Chairman Fred. Then they started shooting the pigs. They started shooting again. I heard the sister scream. They stopped shooting. The pig said, he's good and dead now. The pigs were running around laughing. They were really happy, you know, talking about Chairman Fred is dead. I never saw Chairman Fred again.
Inflammatory statements and false charges against our office have been made by spokesmen for the Black Panther Party and others, despite the fact that the speakers had no reliable knowledge about the occurrence.
So the best account that I can give is the room that I was in and the actions of things surrounding me personally, you know. First thing I remember when I woke up was a knock on the door, and it was only a matter of seconds. In fact, I'd say it was less than 5 seconds that I heard, you know, shots. Now, the thing that struck me was that I not only heard shots, but I can see plaster coming out of the walls in my room. So I knew the bullets were coming through the room that I was in.
The great variance between the physical evidence and the testimony of the officers raises the question as to whether the officers are falsifying their accounts. Those officers fired 99 shots through the walls of an apartment where they knew people were sleeping. Murdered is defined in Illinois as follows: a person who kills an individual without lawful justification commits murder if, in performing the acts which caused the death, he knows that such acts create a strong probability of death or great bodily harm to that individual or another. Federal grand jury comes to its conclusions. Unquestionably, the raid was not professionally planned or properly executed, and the result of the raid was 2 deaths, 4 injuries, and 7 improper criminal charges. In spite of those conclusions, the report then goes on to say, the physical evidence and the discrepancies in the officers' accounts are insufficient to establish probable cause to charge the officers with a willful violation of the occupant's civil rights.
347-838-9825, Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. Just little excerpts on the assassination of Fred Hampton. And I'm not going to read the whole bio. Let's go on in. That was a little grand jury testimony of what transpired. Let's see what happened after Nixon resigned, Ebony. What happened?
At the arrest of the nation of Richard Nixon, President of the United States of America, the Senate Intelligence Committee conducted a wide-ranging investigation of America's intelligence service. Frank Church of Idaho, the chairman of the committee, revealed in April 1976 that William O'Neill, Hampton's bodyguard, was an FBI agent provocateur who, days before the raid, had delivered an apartment floor plan to the bureau with an X marking Hampton's bed. Ballistic evidence showed that most bullets during the raids were aimed at Hampton's bedroom.
Now, like I said earlier, that's why informants are dangerous people, because they can have your whole life in jeopardy. Now, here's a guy working for the government, wearing a wire. William O'Neill is his name. Fred Hampton's bodyguard. Gave him sleeping pills and a Kool-Aid, hot dogs for a meal, let the back door open, and then the assassination began on this day. Irony. On this day, Chicago cops are being held with a code of silence. Irony. George Burge is testifying on the torture of a black man. Irony. Jesse Jackson right here wearing a wire. Irony. That's why it's all dangerous, man. Finneco hit somebody 4 years ago with intent, like the man said. That's what murder is. Hit somebody with a malice outcome that could be death. I mean, hit some dude in the jaw because if Daly got off with it, he get caught. You can't run too long. That's why wearing a wire is dangerous. Because there you go, for the government. Now you use these to infiltrate organizations, destabilize them, and give them floor plans. I mean, unbeknownst to you, you might not know what their plans are. In your mind, you might be doing superhero, I'm the man, I'm here to fight corruption. But in their mind, they might have some other alternative motives. Slip some of this Kool-Aid, make them look crazy. Give them a bad blunt. Put some crazy broad on them. Put some hooker in them. You see, that's why it's dangerous. 347-839. Hey, we got a caller. Why don't you give me this caller right here? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, Dana? How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Ebony. How are you?
What's going on? It's a Talk to Me Tuesday, and we didn't talk about anything you want to talk about, but today is the assassination death of Mr. Fred Hampton and Mark Clark on the west side of Chicago, some Black Panther activists that was set up by government informants, such as which his bodyguard, William O'Neill, was working for the federal government at that time. You know, and that got the assassination. That's why when I go on my rants, Dana, about why it's dangerous to be wearing, why stuff like that, because when I was coming up, all my heroes that I read about, the Malcolm X of the world, the Martin Luther King of the world, even the Stokely Carmichael's, the Fred Hampton's, all these cats, I mean, they always say the federal government comes in and destabilizes organizations, sets people up. They always say that. They always say it's your own people they send in there to get you, always set you up, stuff like that. And that's why I look at Jesse Jackson Jr. as like, man, why? Why? You should know better. Your father, your parents, your people should know better. Or is this what you come from? That's just my opinion. You know, I put that out there. But anyway, Dana, what it do?
I don't know. I mean, you never know why people do what they do, Jimmy.
But do you understand where I come from, Dana, how dangerous that is, the dangerous game we play when we put other people at risk like that?
You know what? Some people call them wires. Some people call them evidence. Some people call it shoot trying to save a life. I have proof. You know what I mean? Let's say, for example, let's just use this as an example. What if every time you came around me, then you wanted to discuss something that I knew wasn't right? And then when somebody else was in the room, then you try to discuss something else. Or you know what? Okay, here we go. Let's put it on the line. Let's do it like this. Let's talk about workplace abuse, right, and intimidation in the workplace, all right? Now.
Okay.
Let's pretend like you my boss, right? And so every time I walk up in the workplace, then you want to bully me or intimidate me or threaten me or verbally abuse me or mistreat me, and then I say to you, hey, can I have somebody else come up in here? But not for a witness, just so I can have somebody else in the room because I don't feel comfortable in this room with you. But you don't allow that. So what if that person came in there and had a wire on?
It's against the law to record anybody without their consent.
I disagree.
Illinois, maybe not in the
recording of meetings.
But hold on,
if you
call me in for a meeting, I can record the
verbal meeting.
But then, hold on, if I'm being recorded without my consent, then...
If you are calling me into a meeting, now I cannot, in some states now, of course this is state dependent, but
right.
In some states, you can record a meeting. Now, a person cannot wear a wire for the purpose of having you incriminate yourself. So let's say you didn't call me into a meeting, but here I am. What do they do like on the movies? You know, I got to live everything in my life is through TV almost. So,
okay, Dana, how about this?
Like,
how about let me give you the scenario. How about this? How about I call you? How about you call me and be like, hey, Jimmy, hey, what you think about blah, 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 blah? And I'd be like, man, Dana, man, blah, 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 blah. Right, come talking to Dana, because I'm cool with Dana. Come cool with Dana. Figure I'm just talking shit, like Robert Goyevich. Not knowing Dana just putting this down because Dana has an alternative motives of asking me that question. Now, Dana takes the alternative motives to go to her bosses who have other alternative motives. She don't know what their motives is. I don't know what her motives is. In the end, their motives is to assassinate Jimmy Lee Tillman.
Right,
because we don't know the alternative motives that the government has for going after an individual. Now, when they get their pawns to infiltrate the operation organization, whatever they tell that person to do it, they just tell that person to do it for their own benefit to get the information out. Unbeknownst to that person, let me give you this. William O'Neill gave the FBI plans. of the Black Panther headquarters. William O'Neill also gave them sleeping pills for their Kool-Aid. And I honestly believe in what he said. He didn't think they were going to kill him. I thought he thought they said he'd be able to put them to sleep. It's going to be easy resistance when they walk in and arrest them. They won't be able to put up a big-ass struggle or they can go out easy. He never thought they'd go in and shoot like they did. But he didn't know what their motives was. But yeah, he participated in that motive. Not knowing, but he could because he's working for the government. Yeah, he got away. He got off. He lived. The most of them got off because individuals, the government have individuals inside your camp, close to you, as your bodyguard, as your cook, as your chef, as your man, as your campaign manager, as your advisor, as your boy, as your driver, as your woman, as your mistress, as your friend, wearing a wire just to get you because they want to have something on you. Either A, to humiliate you, kick, assassinate you, or get you to do thy bidding. That's why I feel that an individual who was stooped so low as a recording device to go around individuals because they got themselves in trouble. Hey, man, do your own shit. Don't come around me. Be a man. Do your own time. Don't get caught up and say, I can get some other people to get off. That's not right. You did your shit, you do your shit. I mean, that's how I go. And that's why I have my rant so much on Jesse Jackson because of that. You know, because he should know better. He put his whole family at risk, expired at risk because there's rules of the civil rights movement that we all know that the government infiltrates operations. And the fact that the son of a famous acclaimed civil rights mover will riot. But you know, when you get in trouble, there's only one thing to do. You just stay up, get it off your mind, because you can't go to bed when there's a price on your head. You just don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't go to bed with no price on your head. No, no.
Don't do it.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. When the going gets narrow,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Where can I go where the cold winds don't blow now?
He said this, Dana. Keep your eye on the sparrow. You know why?
Because
the sparrow will be singing, Dana. The sparrow will be singing like a bird. Because when you go, when it gets narrow, I'm just saying. That's what you don't see. Now, Push is very, very, very much in jeopardy. Because their whole operation is infiltrated by the federal government. How everything they're doing is right now. How can somebody go to them and feel that they get satisfied and served without being infiltrated? All those people sat down, like, kicking their feet up, thinking they're talking about the white man, thinking they're talking about injustice, thinking they're talking about how situations are wrong, and they're talking to the people that are keeping them in bondage. They're talking to the overseers. They're talking to the ones that told master that everybody ain't in the field working. They the ones that told master that they out planning revolution. They the ones that told master that they about to run away, master. That's what they are, Dana. They the ones just for a little piece of hog mog, just for a little piece of fat back on their rice, gave their daughter, their mama, their sister, white man to have sex with, just for a little piece of fat on their meat. That's the same person that Harriet Tubman say, hold on, I'm going to pop your ass. Because ain't no turning around when I can re-roll with me. Ain't no going back. Because I can't trust nobody on the Underground Railroad. because I know once I turn your back, everything is up, the whole operation, the whole cause of black liberation and freedom is gone because you're jeopardizing everybody. Because I know if you go back, you're going to tell. So you can't go back. It's a die, ride or die. The original ride or die speech, Harriet Tubman. If you're going to ride or die, da 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 da. Ain't no one. You know, I'm just saying the simple fact now that knowing who his father is, Dana. You dig where I'm coming from? I mean, my mother worked with King also. And King knew people was in his camp, infiltrated his camp. During his last days, I remember, you know, how Devil just said he was arguing with Andrew Young. Like, where you been? Because at the time he thought Andrew Young was, where you been? I've been around. Come on, man. I ain't going to be around too much longer. You know, they're going to take me out pretty soon. They said one of my boys, I watched one of my boys. They said one of my boys are one. This is King always telling his people. They told me one of my boys, which one is y'all going to be? Which one y'all take me out? This is King always just tell his people, which one y'all take me out? They told me when y'all was in it. And everybody thought he was joking, but he's always serious with that. Cause we always know. And when you get to a certain point, you know people are around you just for that reason. They're not in it for the cause. They're in it to take you down because the cause is too just and the cause is too vast and the cause is too powerful. So you got to stop the cause. And that's why there's no explanation. There's no sugar on the salt. Even though I told my mother I was not going to discuss it anymore, it's just irony that on today's celebration, a lot of things come to light. The fact that Alvarez has been investigated for holding down this case against this young Veneco trial, and how the code of silence has been tagged in America, and how the police had a code of silence when they assassinated Fred Hampton with an informant, i.e. Jesse Jackson,
again,
informant.
Would you say again about the code of silence?
Well, remember that bartender got a butt beat?
The what?
Do you remember that? In Chicago, this white lady got a butt beat by this white police officer. Bartender got a butt beat live on TV, is recorded. Well, anyway, this lady won a court case against Chicago saying that the Chicago had a code of silence that prevented her from getting rightful, getting justice at that time. And the jury awarded her like $800,000 and found that the city of Chicago police do have a code of silence. Now, today the mayor is trying to get that removed from the record because he don't want everyone to be suing Chicago because the police got a quote-unquote code of silence. But if you heard the tape I played earlier, it talked about the code of silence that the police officer had when they were assassinating Fred Hampton. And they had an informant in their midst who helped them assassinate Fred Hampton. Seeing how Representative Jesse Jackson also informant also, I was just seeing how things don't change. Even today, the trial of Burge is put on hold because he had to give testimony and what he known about the torture of police subjects here because everything's about to be shook up here. But like I said, yeah, you fight corruption. Yeah, you might be taking people down, Jesse. You might be doing your job doing all that Superman, but you have no idea what the plan of the federal government is. And I really don't believe in my heart that William O'Neill meant to get those people killed. I mean, if they wanted to kill all the Black Panthers, hell, Bobby Rush would have been dead too. All of them would have been dead. Why leave them alive? But hey, who knows? Who knows? But the truth about to come out now. Because I think Jesse's going to tell. I'm not the only one wearing a wire. He's the type of person that does not want to go down being the only snitch in town. He don't want to be labeled a snitch and just me. You know, there's a lot more. And what I mean by snitches, I'm not meaning that somebody just telling on police. I mean somebody who's just wearing a wire to go get people in trouble or set people up to get them in trouble. That's what I mean by Snitch America. You know, how much time we got left, Ebony?
We got about 32 minutes to do anything.
I can keep it moving now, Dana. What do you want to talk about? We can go on and look at the script because I got on my house. I'm about to fall down off my horse.
Well, now that I have been scared to death, Jimmy, I want to know what you think about Zeke Doudou's face.
Say it again.
About Zimmerman's face, all beat up on TV now. He got the new beat up face, and the witnesses are changing their story. What do you think about that?
If he gets off, then what? So, Ann?
Huh?
Dana, let me tell you something. Now we're back on Jesse again. We're back on Jesse again. You brought me back to Jesse again. I'm trying to get off Jesse.
No,
so
I didn't
what?
Have your question Wait, about Vito Faye.
Because, Ann, Dana, what if Zimmerman gets off and what justice has been served, so what, right? So what, right, Dana? Where's the outrage and where's the black leadership that's going to march down? The black leadership has been unearthed and disrupted with the cost of Jesse Jr. There's no more black leadership across America, Dana. You see, that's why it's important about the Jesse Jackson Jr. case. Because
but you can't blame that on one person.
Jesse Sr. cannot go march down for Trayvon Martin. You know why? Because he's going to talk about his son. So he's shame and humiliated. He cannot go out in public no more and discuss pressing issues without having to deal with his son. And Al Sharpton's not going to do it because he works in MSNBC and he has contractual obligations not to be at all those events. So he cannot go against what the corporate sponsors of MSNBC when it really comes down to it. So there is no one to go fight for Trayvon Martin no more, Dana. Back to Jesse Jr. That's why I'm back on Jr. again. I mean, that's the whole importance about taking everybody down. When you wear a wire, the whole country gets stabilized. All of black Americans are all in shambles, Dana. This is not Chicago. He's been all around America, up and down Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, all Africa, everywhere. Nigga been getting everybody.
Okay, so then what's the solution? How do you fix it? What do you do?
Well, it's the fiery phoenix, Dana. You got to burn, build, and destroy. You got to wait it all. I mean, okay, there's an old saying that we should say back in the club. Now, join in with me out there in Jimmy Lee Land if you want to. But this is an answer to Dana's solution. This is a solution to the problem. It goes with a chant we should say in a club. And the chant goes like this. The roof, the roof. The roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. Burn, motherfucker. Burn. Now, that's a chant that they should say. So, sometimes when the roof is on fire, you don't need no water. You just let the motherfucker burn. Now, what is the rule? The rule is the niggas at the top. Hey, the top shit on top notch niggas on fire. Don't put the niggas out. Let them burn. Can't save them. In order to save black America, burn, motherfucker, burn. Because the roof is on fire. That's the solution, Miss Street. That's the solution.
Who is Street?
Right. I mean, we take it to the street. I'm just saying, we take it to the street. We just take it to the street. But no, that's the point I'm coming from.
So how is that a solution? That's not a solution, though.
Well, check this out. Let me go philosophical on you. Let me throw this out to you. What comes out of chaos?
Sometimes solutions come out of chaos, honestly.
The order comes out of chaos.
Okay, I give you that. Order does come out of chaos.
So out of this chaos, then order should come arise. The fiery phoenix always rises from its ashes. In order to build, you must destroy. In order to make the new, you got to get what? Rid of the old. So since the top part of the black movement has now been infiltrated, and they are on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfuckers burn. And that's the solution, Dana. The solution.
What's the solution?
I mean, hey, push is push. Can't push no more. Because they hear a guy that went a wire going to those meetings, sitting with all those politicians. Recording everybody. So no one wants to go down there and march with Jesse Jackson when they don't know what the fuck they're marching into. When they got to watch what they say. When the government's watching, don't set us up and you the man watching us setting us up. So he's not going to march down there on Trayvon Day. So how much time we got left, Ebony?
We got 27. Because
I have 27 and they ain't trying to spend it on Jesse. Now, let's make another move, Dana. And let's all walls be the Jesse Jackson Jr. Which I'm thinking they do. You know, which I'm thinking they do. So, the point I'm coming at is that in the point where you are informing from the government, unless you're trying to stop, unless you're John McCain, unless you're John McCain and you're trying to die hard for America, you hear me?
Uh-huh.
I said, unless you're John McCain and you're going to die hard for America. Can you hear me, Dana?
What you mean to die hard for America? What does that mean?
No, I was talking to Ebony, so you can hear me. No, John McCain was a terrorist, was the dude in Die Hard. Now, unless you're going to infiltrate. Right.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're going to infiltrate. Unless you're going to infiltrate Al-Qaeda or stop terrorists, then you should not be spying on Americans like that. This is Jimmy the Underground Railroad. This is Jimmy the Underground Radio. I'll be back in 1 minute, 4 minutes, 55 seconds. Check me out.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Gather around. Come on, gather around.
Step right up. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, gather around. Let me tell you all about the Mac and Jack Wonder Potion, guaranteed to give you unbelievable power. Yes, my friends, it can give you the strength of a raging bull.
I'll try one.
Here's a young gentleman. Like to try one. Yes, sir. Yeah. Drink it up. Let me help you with that, my friend. Try it.
Sir?
Get right up, come on in, gentlemen, gather around. Let me tell
Getting late in the studio. Honestly, I'm getting kind of hungry. I got my singer on Twitter. People are falling asleep. Man, I guess this is what it's like to be a rapper, then, right? Shout out to Herb again for making the beat. Take one. I don't even know what I'm gonna do with this one. The coolest fucking thing about rappers on your playlist. The late nights in the studio with wasted. Rappers don't wanna feature on your playlist. But you still not trying to get the hustle on. Put the song for pushing tapes with the music on. Track lists getting bigger with a good song. Fighting spark, get that mind, you switch on. The sound pack, original's a great song. Using imitation, try to find your inspiration. It's not mean like a fucking speech pattern man. Money talks to all bullshit, walks, huh? Bad songs are me and never acceptable. Working hard to move my paycheck, that's the most. Fuck having girlfriends, women all flexible. High school girls giving head to be acceptable. The high school jocks and senior assholes. Woo! There he go, black bears go with the flow, they know. Cape Town, West Town, and I know that. Past songs won't ever get a playback. Take one JP and you love that. Face up that, yes, I play that. Outlandish shit, I'll say that. Spaz on the beat, yeah, I tried that. I ain't even got a line, make a rhyme with that. With the fake bitches, that they probably laugh at that. Fast girls usually get us with attractions. Pants off, bra, all big attractions. Now the pre-com got you with the dead today. Pulling out, cause you thought you had the feeling tan. Little Jimmy is a goddamn kid today. Ayo, Taz, go over here and kill this beat now. Young Chaz in the building. Jack, chasing after this money. Roll around in my new whip. Take a look, it ain't funny. Rollie on me exclusive. Now back in the rap, chemist wanna spit it. I'ma put a flash in and match with him. Got them haters on me and that girl's back bending. Acting like you know me, nigga, I ain't Mac Millie. It's gonna take a sec to bring the flow back. Y'all new niggas better know that. Gonna take a picture like Kodak. Hold on, wait a minute, let me go back. And with the Mac 10, eating niggas like Pac-Man. And you know I got to strap in. Quick to make them do a back bend. Y'all niggas better strap in. I'm gone.
347-839-825. Okay, who's that now, Dana?
Huh? So now, I wanted to know what you thought about the new busted up face picture.
Back on Jesse Jackson again. What I'm saying is this, Dana.
I'm talking about Zimmerman.
No, we're going to do with Zimmerman because Zimmerman's going to get off, and who's going to care? Who's going to go down and march, Dana? They can't because Jesse got everybody
hammered. See, that's the thing. See, you can't depend on the people to enforce the rules. The rules should be enforced by the people in place already. So,
if he gets off in the court of law, then we should be satisfied with the verdict. Just like we told white America to be satisfied when OJ got off. I mean, hey, we can't get upset.
Well,
I
don't feel like OJ committed the crime. So,
we know OJ didn't do
it. It has nothing to do with him being black and everything to do with just not realistic.
We're not dealing with black and white issue. We're going straight up to keep to the spot. Right now, Dana says you want to bring Jesse Jackson back in the mix. I'm trying to stay off Jesse. The point I'm trying to say is this, Dana. The tragedies of this individual wearing a wire has jammed up all the black organizations that would normally go down and support the Zimmerman case. My question to you, Dana, is F seeing the pictures of Zimmerman, how he looked bled up and everybody changing their testimony, what is the cry in the black community? What are they saying, Dana? Not what Dana's saying. What is the black community saying, Dana?
I don't know what they're saying. What are they saying?
They're not saying nothing, Dana. You ain't hear nobody saying nothing, Dana. That's what I'm saying. It's quiet. So do they care? No. They don't care because they realize that they've been under surveillance by the Juniors and the Jacksons, and they've been infiltrated, and there's no more mission. Jesse cannot go out there and defend no one because they're going to ask some questions on his son, investigation, him wearing a wire, all of that.
But you know what? Even if that's the case, then he's not required to answer any questions. That's the thing. His family needs time to heal, and his family needs time to get better.
And they can't.
He got arrested the other day. Listen, he got arrested the other day. Man, listen, he got arrested the other day and trying to down there to get awareness of these jobs going out of town. And instead of everybody caught you on that, they say, how you feel about your son? Everywhere you go, we try to make the cause known about the cause that he's fighting for. What about your son? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about all the questions. Any more questions? No, I'm with your son. Well, no, I have no more questions to ask. Thank you. So everywhere he goes, he's been bound with the question about his son, which he refused to answer because of the investigation of his son's going under. So by that happening, that means he's really limited in the speaking engagement and where he can go and speak and what he can do and stuff like that. That's what I was saying, Dana.
Well, you know? I agree, but what I'm saying is that people need to give them a chance to get their, you know what I'm saying, get things in order. You can't, I mean, it's bad enough to have the shock of all this stuff going on, and then something else to have the, you know, that the whole, you know, a whole bunch of people are looking at you like, you know, you can't blame the parents for what happened to the children. And the other thing is you got to give parents opportunity to try to help their children and figure out what's going on instead of everybody jumping on them. It don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Even if he did something wrong. Look at the example of what you gave yesterday about the other person that's trying to run, right?
Right.
No one's jumping on him. You got to give people a chance to get their things together, and they can't get their things together if they're worried about what everybody else in the world is, how they're coming at them and what they got to say. You know what I'm
right.
saying? If that was me, if it was me and one of my children had, you know, it wasn't even half as bad. If it was one of my children, then I wouldn't be trying to answer the questions of the world. I'm trying to help my child. And anybody that can't understand that, too bad for you.
And that's what he's saying, Dana, and that gets in the way of the cause at hand, is what I'm saying, Dana. And that's what he's saying, exactly what you're saying, Dana.
But
hey, Dana, check this out. That song I played yesterday, the weird thing about it.
They don't have to be the representative of all things in the world. He should be able to take care of his family, no problem, no harm, no foul. It's fair.
And that's what, I mean, he can't do his job. That's in his way. That means he got to sit down and take care of his family. Go sit down now.
But it still does not give, you know, there still was a life taken. And so because a life was taken, you know, all these, like, for example, when I saw the busted up nose, I immediately thought, this picture is not nowhere near consistent with the picture that they showed before.
Let's see if the lawyer takes that up in court, and then let's see if the outcry of the public is, Dana. Not Dana. And listen, I'm not going to beat this drum with you to get everybody to scream and go down there. Nah, I really don't care.
I'm not trying to do that.
Hey, Dana,
I'm
put your drum
that.
Down.
I'm saying that.
Put your drumstick down for a second. Dana,
was.
Put your drumstick down for a second. Let me ask you this question. That song I was playing last night at the end of the show, what you think about it?
The song I played last night,
the end of the show, what you think about it?
I thought the song was good. I don't know the name of it.
The name is Heaven Somewhere, and I dig it. It's a live little cut from Common Sense. It's on this low-key album called Electric Circus. Now, I like it because it got Omar, CeeLo, Balad, Jill Scott, Mary J. Blige, Erykah Badu, and Lonnie Lynn all harmonizing like in one orchestra type of way. It's very unique. Now I'm about to rock it one more time. I'm gonna come back with you one more time dancing in the show.
And how our lives related to it. And how we can make the best of it. My voice became desperate. So I asked him, why you gotta go? He said, you know, turn to Matthew 24. He said, no one knows the hour, nor do they know the day. But the kingdom is near. Don't let anything lead you astray. As long as God is with me, everything will be okay. So right about then, we decided to pray.
Just lying back, making the smoke and the curse away.
I keep on going. grandchildren, listening to their voices in laughter and play. And then at the end of the day, we hug, we kiss, and slowly they walk away. And then suddenly, they turn and rush back to me and hug me around the knees. Yeah, that's heaven to me.
People 78389825, Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. What do you think about that, Dana?
Oh, that song was live. That reminded me of like old style music. That was off the chain.
Yeah, again, that's Omar CeeLo, Bellagio, Scott, Mary J, Erykah Badu, and Lonnie Lynn on the track. Anyway, I got 3 minutes to go. Okay, Dana, since you said it's okay to be a snitch in America, I understand that's all good. But
I understand it's okay to be a snitch, Jimmy. I said that you can't, you know, the thing is people do things for whatever reason that they feel is important to them. And I can't be judge and jury on nobody because I don't want nobody being judge playing judge and jury on me. So, you know, for whatever reason, whatever went down. And so we got to give his family, him and his family, time to heal. And they can't do that if everybody's trying to pass judgment on. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
30 seconds, Dana.
No, I was just going to say, I probably won't have a chance to share this story. But I just believe that, you know, I don't live in a glass house, so I'm not going to throw stones even if I did. You know, I can't put somebody down for what they did or what they felt was right at the time. Just like I wouldn't want somebody putting me down for something I did or something I felt was right. But I do know that their family deserves the opportunity.
10 seconds, Dana.
Feel better. I know you'll like nothing I'm saying, but it's the truth. So I'm still going to keep praying for them and wishing them the best. And I hope things work out for them.
All right, all right. This is Jim Lee's Underground Radio Network. I appreciate y'all. Tomorrow we got What's Going On Wednesday, then New Music Thursday, and again, Coffee Chain Concerts from Dorothy Tillman on Saturdays. Thank you for listening. Like I always say, good night, and may your God be with you. And to my man, Jesse Jackson Jr., all I got to do is say one thing to you, my friend, and to William O'Neill and all those snitches out there in America.
Don't go to bed with no price on your head. No, no.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Yeah.
Don't do it.
And keep your eye on the sparrow.
All right, good night, Dana. See you tomorrow.
Good night, Jimmy. Good night, Ebony. Talk to you tomorrow.